Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. God is asking us to be still before Him. And I just want to sing that chorus right now. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
Be still.
Thinking about the message this morning, there's a song that I kept thinking about different times, and it's not necessarily using the word that I have for the message, but it's referring to the situation for the what I feel like God laid on my heart. It goes like this: it's not the news that any of us hope that we would hear. It's not the road we would have chosen. No. The only thing that we can see is darkness up ahead, but you're asking us to lay our worry down and sing a song instead. And I didn't know I'd find you here in the middle of my deepest fear, but you are drawing near. You are overwhelming me with peace, so I'll lift my voice and sing. You're going to carry us through everything, and you are drawing near. You're overwhelming all my fears with peace. You say that I should come to you with everything I need. You're asking me to thank you even when the pain is deep. You promise that you'll come and meet us on the road ahead. And no matter what the fear says, you give me a reason to be glad. You're here in the middle of the lonely night. You're here in the middle of the losing fight. You're here in the middle of a deep regret. You're here when the healing hasn't happened yet. Here in the middle of the desert place. Here in the middle when I cannot see your face. Here in the middle with your outstretched arm, you can see my pain and it breaks your heart. Rejoice, rejoice. Don't have to worry about a single thing because you are overwhelming me with peace. Don't have to worry about a single thing. You're going to carry us through everything. Overwhelming peace. Song came to me different times. I didn't know the words, but I knew it had a theme of what I felt like God was laying on my heart, and that's called living in the waiting. Living in the waiting. Now, there's a few of these points that maybe are here that I know have been a personal experience for my wife and us as a family, but I feel like God has helped me to just look into this deeper also than just simply our own experience. Waiting is that complicated word. And a complicated experience that each one of us has in life. Now, waiting is a broad. As I was thinking about waiting, it's hard to lay a finger on all the points to be able to wrap this subject up in a nutshell. That song, though, says it well, is it's talking about our Father God. It's talking about our Jesus. It's meeting Him there in the middle. It's meeting Him there in that waiting. And that's my thrust and my heartbeat for this message this morning, that even though waiting might look different for each and every person and what you're journeying through, it's are you meeting Jesus in the middle of that waiting? That waiting might be a hard, wrestling, struggling, terrifying fight for somebody, and the waiting might be simply that peace and that joy of, yes, you know what your heart's desire is, but it's not that hard battle, but you're still that waiting for that promise to come forth. So there's so many spectrums of waiting and what that might look like, but I promise you that as believers here this morning, I believe we all have, to some aspect or another, a level of waiting. We receive the promise, but we're waiting for it to be fulfilled. And my prayer is that each one of us can find Jesus in that middle of that waiting. I believe that song gave a wrestle, and I believe that song sprung out. Yeah, I believe it was a lady author for that song, but I read that she received news of her father having cancer. And the song sprung out of that situation. So it was a deep, horrible, terrifying wrestle the way that song was written. But each one of us has a level of waiting somehow or another. What do we do with it? How do we handle it? Why did I have it so often? How do I make it go away? What's the purpose of it? Some of the questions that came to my mind, and I hope that most of them can be answered to some degree or another throughout the message this morning. None of us, as I said before, are able to escape it. We all journey with it to one extent or another. We all deal with it or react to it in our unique character and personality. And we wonder, is there any beauty in this? Or how can we, I put in capital letters, live with it? I wish I could have some of these things, especially some phrases that quotes I have. I wish I could put it up there, but only so many hours in a day. I just simply ran out of time and I couldn't put it together. So I hope you can catch some of the different points that I have, because I feel like for me in processing it, and then also for us as a family, some of the quotes can be pretty personal. But yeah. So what do I mean when I say in the waiting? What does that look like? And I don't know what comes to your mind. I'd be interested in hearing some of your thoughts. When you think of waiting and you look at your own lives and your experience, how would you describe that in your own situation, that waiting? What are you experiencing? What's happening? What are you learning? And I try to put it in a brief label or a brief description, and maybe it could look differently or be a little different, but is it not that span of time when the promise is given or you believe in that promise till it's received? It's that span of time. It's that in between. So you think of a promise given, you connect with that, and then until it actually happens. You know what God says. You know what God wants to do, but till you see it happening, it's that in between. And the levels of emotion or the experiences that can happen in that in between. Another song that kept coming to my mind different times was, I believe it's in the Chosen, I believe. You Were the In Between, I believe it's titled. You're the In Between. Talking about Jesus is that in between. Anyways, I had to think a little bit of like the salvation or sanctification. We receive the promise of salvation. We receive that. But then till the sanctification happens, yes, it starts happening slowly, but there's still that spaces of waiting for sanctification to happen. Another two characters in the Bible, well, they're a husband and a wife, but Abraham and Sarah, they had a tremendous amount of years of waiting. The promise was given. They believed it. They latched onto it, but it wasn't happening. And we know that journey of that story of that waiting in between, the ups and the downs and their own processing and solutions. Like, this is what we're going to do to make this promise come. And how many times God said, that's not what I want yet. It will happen. Will you keep believing? That in between, that wrestle, that struggle. One of the things that sparked this message, and it happened a while ago, but my wife and I came across this thing, and it's really interesting. I think the last thing is, don't give up at 40. It says, in the Bible, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Day 41 came, and the rain stopped. Moses committed murder and hid in the desert for 40 years. Year 41 came and God called him to come to help rescue the Israel. Moses went up in the mountain for 40 days. On day 41, he received the Ten Commandments. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 41 years. Year 41, they walked into the promised land. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. Day 41 came, and David slew him. Jonah preached the message of repentance to Nineveh for 40 days. On day 41, God stopped his plan to destroy them. Jesus fasted and was tempted for 40 days, day 41, and the devil fled. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days. On day 41, he ascended into heaven. All this to say is don't quit. The rain will stop, the giant will fall, and you will enter your promised land. Don't give up at 40. I don't know what your 40s are looking like. And I'm just using that as a broad term. But will you hold on to that day of deliverance? To that day of the promise received? I know there's people that have prayed and were not able to see the promise received. But as they passed on into glory, God fulfilled the promise later on. God will come through. It's that in the waiting that is so hard to walk. But yet, God calls us to believe and meet him there. The next three verses are key is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, and then two verses in Romans 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. I believe some of these verses, these three verses, give the reason and some of the purpose for the waiting that we can experience in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, you can follow along, but I'm going to read this one here out of the NLT. It says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like a puzzling reflection in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely." That verse is giving the picture of the in-between. We are human and we are living in this world, fallen world, and God gives us glimpses of his glory, his glimpses of his promises, his glimpses of himself. But we cannot comprehend everything clearly and thoroughly now. So we have this wrestle, we have this in between, this waiting that we need to deal with. But the promise is given that we will come to a time of perfect clarity. We only see things partial now, but we will know eventually completely. I believe there will be times where we will be able to look back and say, yes, I understand. But there are definitely going to be times where we have to wait for glory and we can look back and say, I see. I understand. Thank you, God, for knowing what was best. And that is some of the things we need to hold on to as we walk through that space, that gap, that dash in our lives of the waiting. God designed us as limited, which in this creates a longing, a hope, a realization for more. It keeps us going someday to be revealed. Now, Romans 8, 25, and then verse 28. Again, here it talks about a hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That hope is, I believe, is what keeps that dash in our lives doable. That space of waiting livable is that hope, knowing that God is doing a work that we can't see completely in, but it keeps us going. Hope births desire. With Jesus, we have a sure hope. So we have this waiting, this space, where with the hope that God is doing more, we wait, not always perfectly or easily, But we wait with a living hope, which is Jesus, realizing that our Father is doing a work that is greater, which is needed in our lives. And a quote that I have, I believe, is something that, yeah, is personal, but I believe that each one of us can hold on to. It says, without the work that is taking place in our heart today, you won't have the character you need to step into tomorrow's assignment. I'm going to read it again. Without the work that is taking place in your heart today, you won't have the character you need to step into tomorrow's assignment. That has been a prayer of, I believe, ours for a long time, is God, what do you want to teach us today? What do you want us to learn in this situation? What are we needing to have in our lives in this dash, in this in-between, in this waiting? What do you have, God? If we jump ship, we will not be able to properly step into the next assignment because we were not able to walk through that space of time between the promise and the receiving. Waiting, now another thing about waiting is sometimes I can think of waiting is where we sit and we wait. Waiting is not necessarily just doing nothing. It's intentionally doing and being what God asks of us. And another quote that I have that I came across in my studying, and I believe it's very good and speaks to this point, it says when fishermen cannot go to sea, they repair nets. When fishermen cannot go to sea, they repair nets. And it goes on to explain, says, when the sea is too rough to sail, the smart ones don't wait. They get to work. They mend their nets, sharpen their tools, and prepare for the moment the storm breaks. Because even in stillness, there's progress. It's not about sitting idle. It's about building what's next. I believe that says well and fills that dash of that waiting. It's not about sitting and throwing our hands in the air saying, well, I don't receive anything. I don't hear anything. I don't see you doing anything. I don't know. And I'm going to sit here and do nothing until you show me. Now, I will bring a clarification to that, because one of my points is stillness. There needs to be times of stillness. Now, that's different than sitting and throwing our hands in the air and just, I ain't doing nothing. That's different. Stillness with God is interaction with God, is learning who God is. Sitting there with our thumbs in the air, begging for a handout is not stillness with the Father. So, what's happening in the waiting? Why the waiting? In the midst of the journey of waiting, in the midst of the journey of waiting, our faith is often tested. But God doesn't just want to test it, he wants to refine it. Testing strengthens the faith. Refining purifies the faith. In the waiting, God doesn't want to just simply test. How did I say that again? In the waiting, God doesn't want to just simply, in the midst of the journey of waiting, our faith is often tested, but God doesn't just want to test it. He wants to refine it. As he tests us, yes, we build strength in that connection with God, that God, you have been faithful in the past. I will hold on. But then there's also that refining of our faith, getting out the impurities, cutting off the things that is blocking us from getting that closer connection with Father God. So I believe there's a testing to strengthen it, but there's a refining to purify it. Waiting in Job 23:10. I like this verse here. If you want to look at it, you can. If you want to underline it, you can. But Job was one that amazes me. And we know the story of Job. We can talk about the story of Job. But to experience, to stop and actually imagine in your mind what it was like. Job for years was building up his farm and building up his family. I mean, he had children. He had land. He was the richest. He had it going on. And I don't know how fast things disappear for him. But in reading it in the Bible, it seemed like a boom, boom, boom. Because it said one servant came as soon as the other one was done telling him the story. And I mean, he lost things fast. What was going on? I mean, Job's faith was tested. And he held on. It built that strength in him. And he... Anyways... That point I want to try to say is waiting is never empty, useless, or aimless. God always has a purpose in the waiting. And so Job 23:10 says that Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God knows where we're at. And Job, I've had to wrestle with that. He had his questions, as we read in the book of Job. He processed this. And in the end, he come through and said, "Wow, I had more to learn. God, you're right. You know better than what I even know." So it was strengthened and it was purified. It was not wasted. It was not useless. Of course, we know the whole story front and back. But Job had no idea why this was happening and what it was going to turn out like. It was a span of waiting. But he said, and a promise I believe that each one of us needs to hold on to as we're going through that dash of knowing but not receiving yet. That dash that this is not wasted. God knows the way where I'm at, what we're going through, and what it will take to bring us forth as gold. Another thing in the waiting is God is laying out his plan. What's happening in the waiting? God is laying out his plan and his purpose in our hearts in the waiting. Think about David for a while. He had years of waiting. I tried to look up a little bit of what those years were of his waiting. It was a little hard to lay a finger on it. But it seems like when he was anointed king, he was youth. And it says, I read somewhere that it was 30 when he received the kingship then into took Saul's place. I didn't look through all the details of that. But it had to be years of waiting. He knew what happened. He was anointed for a reason, for a purpose. God was laying out his plan and working out his plan and his purposes in David's life all through that. He looked like a vagabond. He had a vagabond group of guys with him. He was labeled as rebels. Others looking on were like, "Don't be that David. I cannot think of that word. He's the one that rebels against the king and runs and has his own agenda going on." He was looked at as crazy. But for years, he had this waiting. He knew that he was anointed. The prophet anointed him. He had a plan and a purpose. And God said, "I need to get David out of David. I need to get self out of David. I need David to be refined. I need him to know my plans. I need him to know who I am. I need him to know my purposes." And David, it's no wonder Psalms come forth as they do of emotion and just tremendous amounts of passion and feeling, because David was experiencing a lot of things in that waiting. And he spoke it out. He wrote it down. God needed to get David out of himself and show David his plans and purposes for his life. Sometimes we need to be pulled away from other distractions to see God's plans and purposes more clearly. Sometimes if we continue in what we're at, we can't process and see clearly God's plans and purposes. And sometimes he said, "I need to call you into a place of waiting to where you are not distracted from this or that, but where you can actually focus on who I am," God says, "so you can hear what my plans and purposes are." Next is God is wanting us to find strengthening in the waiting. Our faith and confidence in Him can be deepened as we're pulled to the edge, as we're stretched to the limit. Our comfort zone is pulled away, and as we learn to continue trusting even when it is silent. That's hard. Psalms 27:13. Look that up. It says there, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There is something that happens, and I can't totally explain it because it's a spiritual thing. But as we keep holding on and we keep walking and we keep claiming truth in the midst of the waiting, there is a strengthening that can happen to our faith. And it can only happen as we continue walking in that in-between. As we continue claiming out loud, God, You're right. God, I don't know where You're at right now. God, I don't know what to do next. But God, You're right. Your ways are right. And keep me faithful until You show, until life is done, but until we get through this waiting. Because it says there, in the psalmist, in Psalms 27:13, he said he almost fainted. But he didn't, because he believed to see the goodness of the Lord someday. He believed that God was going to come through. And it continues on in verse 14. It says, don't give up. Keep waiting. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. He echoes it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He is as if he couldn't keep holding it. He said, there is something that happens between you and Father God as you continue walking in the waiting. As you continue believing in the waiting, something happens to your heart. Don't give up. Continue waiting. Holding on to faith is critical, but being honest with your heart's cry is important. And we see that there in Psalms 27. The heart cry coming out, I am almost giving up. I almost fainted, but I continued believing. I continued holding on to that God is right. His ways are right, and He is good. And He's going to show us His promise in the land of the living, His goodness. The disciples in the boat were honest. I had to think about them as I thought about the heart cry in the midst of the waiting and that believing and almost fainting. The disciples were desperate. I know I would have been. I mean, I can swim a little bit, but I can't swim when the storm is desperate out there. And they were desperate. That storm was real. And their boat was rocking and water was coming in. And Jesus was right there. And they finally cried out, Jesus! Because they were desperate. They were about ready to give up. I don't know if they were thinking they're going to jump in and try the swimming act. I don't know what they were thinking. But they knew that something had to change now. And they knew that their only hope was to cry out in faith and saying, Jesus, I believe You have the answer here for us. David in Psalms 44:23, he cried out, awake, God, why are You sleeping? Awake, God, I feel like You're sleeping right now. I feel like You're not speaking right now. Awake, do You not see the space of time that nothing is happening and things are going down? They're heading south real fast. And God, why are You sleeping? The psalmist cried that out. Silence is agonizing, but it takes us to a crossroad. Silence takes us to a crossroad of decision. What will we believe? Truth or lies? Silence takes us to the edge of that crossroad where a decision needs to be made. God, I don't hear you, but I'm going to step in faith and speak what is truth. Or, God, I don't hear you. I'm done. Thought about it, but I don't know if we're going to have time. I would love for each one of us to sometime take the brother or the sister by your side and share with them, what are you doing about the silent? What are you doing with the in-between? What are you doing with the waiting? And then pray for them. Think about it. That's critical, and it's real. It is very real, the silence and that crossroads of decision. We all face them, as I said at the beginning of the message, some level or another. Some degree or another, we face it. If you want to recognize it or not, you're facing it. What are you going to do with that crossroads? That's where faith becomes real. And it becomes shoe leather. And you say, what am I going to do with the silence or with that crossroads? God wants us to be strengthened with His strength as we see Him faithful in the silence. The next one is God is wanting to bring revelation in the waiting. Now, it's not necessarily revealing what we want, but what is for our good and for His glory. God wants to bring revelation to us in the waiting. But sometimes it's revealing simply who He is. And we're going to... Revealing who He is. Or sometimes it's revealing to us who we are. Sometimes that's very real in the waiting. Sometimes for our heart's cries, we want to know why. And so we're in this waiting, and God, please show me why this is going on. And He just simply says, will you simply trust me with that answer? I'm revealing you right now who I am. Or I'm revealing to you right now who you are right now in your life. Or another one is, I'm revealing to you my timing. Psalms 46:10, the song that we opened up with in the message was, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Revelation, God wants to bring revelation. And sometimes it's hard to not have revealed what we think we want revealed in our lives. Sometimes He just wants to show us who we are, and maybe things He wants changed, and maybe things that He wants to bring confidence to. Maybe some things that He wants to bring deeper into our lives. You're doing well here, son. You're doing well here, daughter. I want to make this deeper and stronger in your life. I was going to read, and I guess we can, Jeremiah 29:12-14. It's in those silence, it's in that waiting, in that revelation, that it takes a choice on our part. And Jeremiah 29 talks about that, 12 to 14. Saying here, we're going to have to make the choice to call. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto me. Ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Each one of us in our Christian lives has that place at times where we can walk away captive to something. And as we find ourselves in those moments of waiting, we need to choose. Each one purposefully needs to choose, saying, I left that place and I became captive. I need to now walk back by choosing to call out to God. And he said, I will bring you back to the place where you left. But we need to do it with sincerity and with intentionality. We can't do it half-heartedly. It needs to be real and from the heart. God, I walked away. God, I want you to take me back. God, I want you to bring revelation into my life of who I am, what your timing is, who you are, and what you want me to be. Last part is things to do and not to do in the waiting. And some of these points I would have came across in just in searching and thinking about this message and just listening to different things. But I feel like it's truth and it's what I needed to hear. And one of those thoughts was a phrase that says, don't wait to prepare for difficulty when it comes. The best time is now to prepare before it comes. So ahead in your life, before you face that moment of waiting, before you go into that time of waiting or those difficult situations, be proactive, be learning, be growing, be intentional with God ahead of time. Don't wait. Well, I'll just wait until difficult times come and then I'll cry out to God. Don't apply him to your life as a tag, as an add-on. And one of those first things is a prayer life. Prayer life is essential before, but also in the waiting. Prayer life is key, is critical. That interaction with God. We label prayer as this great thing that it's out here, and really prayer life can be a personal thing, a heart thing, a thing of just interacting with God. Just he is real and you are real and you are connected through his life in you and you believing in him, and you're just simply talking back and forth. We sometimes think it has to be these right and proper words, and I'm not going to start going down that line of what sometimes we think it has to be. But it can be one of those things, say, God, here I am. I don't know what to say, but I know you're real and I'm going to believe in you. God, what about this? What about that? I'm not going to go continue down that line, but each one is personal how you pray. But just simply talking back and forth with him on a level that is real and authentic. Prayer life is essential before, but also in the waiting. I would say it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit is it possible to navigate through the waiting properly. Micah 7:7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. Micah gave that promise that I'm going to look to God now before the waiting, but even in the waiting. God loves when our faces turn to him in the unknown, because that shows that we know who knows the unknown. Let me say that again. God loves when our faces turn to him in the unknown. Because that shows that we know who knows the unknown. Don't just wish and ask for an easier life. That's the next one. Don't just wish and wait, ask for an easier life. This is escape thinking. Come showing up in the waiting with a plan. That's why preparation beforehand. When I'm facing, just maybe you can stop and say, you know what, if this or this happens, this is what my plan's going to be. And that's sometimes very critical, especially in addiction life, in things that become strongholds, maybe whatever. Have a plan ahead of time. Now, God might show you a different plan at that moment, and that's okay. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But say, God, if this or that happens, how do you want me to be? Okay, this is who I want to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is a plan of action. So don't just wish for an easier life, because that's just escape thinking. If we just wish for an easier life, when the hard things come, we're just going to try to jump ship as quick as we can, because we don't want to go through what God is calling us to go through. If we are wishing for an easier life, then we're going to always try to find the easiest and the quickest way out. And that's dangerous. That's escaping. That's escape thinking. Another one is offer the keys of forgiveness. Offer the keys of forgiveness. Things to do and not to do in waiting. The thing to do is offer the keys of forgiveness. Make this a pattern in your life now. As you're walking through, maybe you feel like you have a lot of normal areas in your life. Offer the keys of forgiveness now. Because when you get in those areas of waiting, of difficult situations, the unknowns, it's going to be very critical then. Whether you need to forgive yourself, whether you need to, even if you're facing anger towards God, and you're saying, you know what, I forgive. I let it go, because God knows best. Whether you need to simply forgive the brother or the sister by your side, offer the keys of forgiveness. Make this a pattern in your life. The times of difficulty and waiting, Jesus represented this in each season of his life. He willingly offered the keys of forgiveness. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Forgiveness gives the peace. That gives the clarity of thinking. That gives the strength for making right decisions. Do you see the pattern there? Forgiveness gives the peace. As we have that peace, then we can think clearly. We can make decisions clearly. Then as we have that peace and that clarity of making decisions, we have the strength to walk into what God wants us to do. The don't here is don't ask, why is this happening to me? This is injustice thinking. It's victim attitude. There is a right way to ask that same thought. And that is, what do I need to learn in this situation? So don't ask, why is this happening to me? I've went through this before. Say, God, this is happening to me again. I see that. What do you want me to learn? Why? So this is happening. So why? What do you have in this time again for me? I have done that a fair amount of times in my life. This is happening again. Here we are again. And I've seen this a pattern in my life, so... And you almost tend to just take that victim attitude. It's just, I don't know what all terms you can use. This is my last name, I guess, or this is whatever. You can put a lot of things in there. Don't be asking, why is this happening to me again? But ask, what do you want me to learn in this again? Another thing is ask for proper visualization. So visualization. And that thought there is asking for that or asking for proper visualization is asking to properly view the truth of God and who he is. Visualize in your mind who God made you to be by putting his life in you. Not a self-made kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about visualizing the truth of who God is and who He made you to be. Because if we have that victim attitude, we can have the thing of, been through this before and this is the way it's going to be, I guess, again. But if you visualize who God is and who He made you to be, you can think like thoughts of, in Christ, I'm a winner. Through Jesus, I am a conqueror. This is seeing in your mind your identity and who God made you to be, His son or His daughter. In a way, it's actually fighting from victory instead of fighting for victory. Because if victory is already won, we're asking for visualization, proper visualization. It's, God, help me to see what You have already done in my life and for the lives around us. Help me to see who You have made me to be because of Your life in me. Our identity, our awareness. This is speaking the truth so the mind can make decisions off of the truth. I had to think of Zacharias and Elizabeth. He lost his voice. Why? I feel like as I looked at that story, that angel came to Zacharias. They had been praying for years for a child, and it wasn't happening. But when the angel came to him and said, "You're going to have a son," I said, "Really?" And it says, because of his unbelief, he was not visualizing what God has already put in place, in motion, in their lives. He doubted, he did not believe, and he lost his voice till the baby was born. He was not properly viewing the truth of who God is and who God was allowing him to be in this time in his life. He said, "We are too old." Instead of how God viewed them. Don't ask, when will this be over? This is a child perspective. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Don't ask, when will this be over? Take the mindset and ask God to heal and restore your mind. The mindset, we just want someone or something to care for us or comfort us. We just want out. When God is saying, "I have more for you. I have healing for you." When you can realize, even when you only have me, you have all you need. And I believe Zacharias learned that in the next 9 months. When they came forth and the child was born and everybody was saying, his name needs to be, I guess, Zacharias Jr., right? Is that how that was? I forget. I didn't read all that story. And Zacharias came out and said, "I know who God is. I know His truth, and I know what He wants in the situation. His name is John." Zacharias learned something in the next 9 months. He was able to see through the situation. He didn't ask to get out of it. He didn't ask, when will this all be over? He simply allowed God to teach him who He wanted him to be. Galatians 5:5 in the NLT says, "But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us." And in near the end here, it says, "While in the waiting, ask God to help you find segmentation." Now, that's a big word, segmentation. When I first heard it, I'm like, what does that mean? But basically, what it is taking the huge, overwhelming situation and breaking it down into manageable, workable aspects of life. For me, I can get overwhelmed quickly. I see a situation and I just want to just, nope, it's too much. But it's taking what God has brought you to in your life and say, "God, how do you want me to break this down and work through this?" Little by little by little. Segmentation is breaking down the huge, overwhelming situation and conquering it one piece at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I don't ever want to eat an elephant, but I've heard that cliche used many times. It's taking where you're at and a situation that looks way too big and saying, "God, how can I segment this? How can I break this down to work through it one piece at a time?" Because that waiting can look big. That waiting can look overwhelming. And it's like, I can't walk through this. But God says, in Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It's important to keep healthy perspectives in the waiting. And whatever difficulty you're going through, as Paul encouraged us to do, is be thankful in whatever situation you're going through. Or another aspect is looking at it with, you know, it could always be worse. You can be thankful. You can look at it as it could always be worse. There's proper and healthy ways of viewing situations. The one thing you don't want to try to do in the heat of it all is to find the cause or the root of it all. Sometimes, I couldn't think of the proper phrases. You can't see the forest because of the trees. Is that the right? Sometimes when we're in the deep and in the dark, we want to find the cause. We want to find the root. We want to get this done. And sometimes we need to stop, because when you're in the heat of it all, it's hard to properly navigate and process. Allow God to pull you away and to carry you to a place where then he can help you to think clearly away from the heat. And I believe that's one of the good reasons and the blessings of a brotherhood. We can help each other with that. Also, lastly, is don't try bargaining with yourself or with others or with God when you're desperate. You'll end up trading lifelong blessings for a moment of gratification. And how to think of Jacob and Esau. Esau was in that waiting of hunger. He was desperately hungry. He was out working hard all day. And when he came in, he was desperate for a relief in that waiting. And when he was offered a bowl of soup, he was willing to trade up his lifelong blessing for that moment of gratification. So be careful that you don't go bargaining when you're desperate. God, what do you want me to learn? God, what do you have for me right now? Carry me away from the heat, then we can properly process what we need to do next. Let's speak the truth out loud so we can hear with our ears and heart, and the devil can also hear the truth coming from our lives. Remember, day 41 is coming. There is a promise that he wants to give us. If it's not always revealed right here, it will be revealed and made clear over there. Let's continue worshiping, even in the waiting. Let's pray. Father God, we trust that your truth has been spoken, your word has been given. And I just pray, Father God, that as we go from here, you place your hedge of protection around each one of us. We want to walk clearly. We want to walk with confidence in who you are. Father, as each one of us has this dash of waiting somewhere, somehow in our lives, keep us in your care. Keep us connected with you. Keep our faith strong in you. Thank you for how you've been faithful in the past, and we're going to praise you for how you'll be faithful in the future. Bless each life here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.